starting on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, 12th line. We put a braisa with four different opinions. How we know, this whole concept we've been talking about throughout the perek of Shavuos the Eidus, where the Eidim deny that they know the Eidus and they swear falsely about it, or the person beswears them, whatever. And when it turns out that they were lying, then they're going to be chayav a korban oda v'yodin. So we've been discussing the point that that applies only, there are a number of criteria for it in order for them to be chayav for that korban, and one of them is it has to be tvias moment. It has to be where there's a claim of moment involved. So we said, for example, that if if he wants them to testify on his behalf that he's a Korean, then they wouldn't be chayav for Shavuos HaEdus because there's not necessarily moment involved that would entitle him to collect Truma, but it wouldn't. But right now there's nobody being koifer, there's nobody denying a claim of his for Truma, so therefore, or any specific money for Truma, we talked about that it may not apply to Knossos, we talked about that, different other things like that, where we said, for example, it's not going to apply where the claim is something that would be Machayev, the person Misa, rather than Momen. So we discussed four different opinions in the Braisa, how we know that. We had Rabbi Yezer learning from the fact that it says, from Gzeira Shava, from the fact that it says oi several times by Shavuos HaEdus, and it also says oi several times by Shavuos HaPikadon. Shavuos HaPikadon is a claim of money, so therefore Shavuos HaEdus also has to be a claim of money. And we went through those other places where it says ois as well, but we reject those for one reason or another, and so we say the only one that fits the criteria would be Shavuos HaPikadon. Then we had Rabbi Akiva saying, because it says, la'achas me'ela, one of these, implying that there are some of them, some claims for which a person would be chayav for Shavuos HaEdus and others not. And therefore, so it means only when there's mamon. Rabbi Yitzhak really had said, oi ra, oi yoda, that it has to be an Eidus where it's possible for him to see without knowing or know without seeing. And that can only be by dinim mamonis. Namely, in other words, there can be re'ia without yedia, for example, seeing that Reuven is counting out money to Shimon. He does, the Edom don't know whether it's a loan or a gift or what have you, but that doesn't matter. They can still testify that they saw the money changing hands, and they can have yedia without re'ia, namely, if they hear Shimon being murdered to Reuven in their presence, that he owes this money. And then we had the last one, Reb Shimon had said, that first he had said that maybe you could learn it with a mamatzinu, or gzera shava, with a mamatzinu, a binyanav, that is, or a kavachoymer, from Shavuos HaPikadon, but then he said that kavachoymer wouldn't work out, so instead he learned from a gzera shava from the word sechta. So now let's start analyzing. The Gemara says, "Maskef lo Rabba Ba'ula." So Rabba Ba'ula says, "Let's first question on Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that we're learning from the gzera shava from the multiple times that it says oi." So what did we say? We said like this. He's learning from Shavuos HaPikadon. But we said, what about, for example, you have when it comes to Ritzeach, you have many times it says oi. And that's not a tvius moment, and the answer is because over there's no shavua involved. Then we said, what about the ois, the multiple times oi by sota? And the answer is because there is a shavua involved, but there's also a koin involved, so it's not the same thing. But now Rabba Ba'ula says, oi, oi, bitui, yechichu. What about, you have several times where it says oi in connection with Shavuos bitui, the subject of the previous parak. Oi nefesh kisishava, lahora oi lahetiv. So twice it says oi over there. Shehen oyin, v'yeshimon shvua, there is a shvua, because we're talking about Shavuos bitui, v'enimon koin, there's no koin involved, or medabrim shloi b'tvias mamon, and yet we're not talking about a claim of mamon. So why is Rabbi Eliezer saying we have to learn from a gzera shava that davka we're learning from pikadon, from Shavuos HaPikadon, and therefore it involves mamon? Maybe we should learn from Shavuos bitui, and there's no mamon involved over there. And the answer is, fine, but mistabram v'pikadon havelav melech. It's more logical to learn from pikadon, from Shavuos HaPikadon, shekain sechta misechta, because we have the gzera shava on the word sechta that Reb Shimon had mentioned. So we said that Reb Shimon had mentioned that braisa. Had mentioned that gzera shava. So now, in other words, Reb Eliezer is using that gzera shava as well. He didn't mention it in the Braisa, but nevertheless, he still is using that Gzera Shava. Gilyan Ashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, asks on that, though, Sarach Ian Godol on Rashi. He says it's very, very hard to understand Rashi. Because the fact is, that was Reb Shimon's Jerusha, not Reb Eliezer's. And we see, in fact, further that Reb Eliezer. So why does Reb Eliezer have to douse him the ois at all? If he's using sechta, then he's the same as Reb Shimon. So Rabbi Akiva Eger answer is that's not really gzeira shava, but because it's a sechta by both of them, it just means that there's a dimyon, it just means there's a similarity between them, and therefore a doima yosel bitui. It's more similar than it is to shavos bitui, because by both of them it's a sechta. So it's not really gzeira shava, but rather just that they're more similar. So, in fact, Achronim talk about it's possible that Rashi means the same thing as well. So it's more logical to learn by that, because you have the similarity on the word sector. So you want to ask Adam and Bitri have a little mela. On the contrary, you would think to learn more from Shavuos Bitri, Shekin Chatos Mechatos, because both of them, you have there's a Chatos involved, as opposed to by Shavuos HaPikodin, if he makes a false claim involving the Pikodin or any other monetary matter, then, as we're going to learn in the next parak, instead he has to bring a carbon Oshem. So it's less similar. So in that sense, Shavuos Bitri and Shavuos Eidos are more similar. So maybe we should learn them from one another. And then we should say, in other words, that there's no moment involved by Shavuos Bitri. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. Elam is Stabram, Pekodin, Havel and Melech. Fine, the reason why it's more logical to learn from Pekodin, because we have many similarities between them. Shekein Chet, the Mezid, Kave, the Kafre, the Avre. You have, this is key words for the following things that they have in common. By both of them, it's a sechta, so that's the word chet. By both of them, it applies even when he makes the shvur b'mezid, as by shvur sa'edus, even if they know that their shvur is the false one when they make it. And by shvur sa'pikodin, similarly, even if he knows that his claim is a lie, as opposed to by shvur sa'bitui, where, as we learned in the previous parak, if he makes the shvur b'mezid, he's not chayav korban, instead he can be chayav malchus. So you have so far two similarities between them that are different than Shavuos Bitri. Then you have another similarity of Tave v'Kafre. In both of them, there's a Tviya and there's a Kvira. There's a claim. There's a claim, and then there's a denial of the claim. The Avre, and you also have that by both of them, it's on the pass. Now, so another by Shavuos Bitri, there's no Tainu or Kvira. Now Tosfos discusses over here, are we meaning that Kave and Kafre are counted as one thing together, or are they counted as two? Anyway, Tosfos says apparently they count as one. The Avre, and another one is, both of them are about the past. As opposed to a Shavuos Bitri is primarily about the future. A Shavuos Bitri is, I will do this, or I won't do that. Now, to be sure, it is true that Shavuos Bitui, Tosfos points out, Shavuos Bitui does apply to the past as well, as we learned in the previous parak that Akiva holds and Halacha is like him, that Shavuos Bitui can, for example, be, I ate or I didn't eat or I did something else in the past or I didn't. So, in fact, Tosfos says some want to take out the word Va'avre altogether. But nevertheless, we still have to keep it in, Tosfos points out, otherwise we don't have the larger number that we're going to say over here. But the point is that the main thing, primarily Shavuos Bitri, is something about the it is about the future, because that's usually when a person takes a shvur, and therefore as opposed to Shavuos Pikodin and Shavuos Eidos, by definition are on the past. You did deposit this thing with me or you didn't. I did return it or I didn't, in the case of Shavuos Pikodin, for example, and I was present there and saw this Eidos, or I didn't, as the case may be. So therefore, both of those are all on the past, whereas Shavuos Bitri can be both on the past and on the future. So that's the thing. In other words, so Tosfos is saying it doesn't mean that it's only so Tosfos is pointing out that a Shavuos Bitri can be l'shover as well. So the Rimi Gash actually explains what it means is that's exactly it. In other words, Shavuos Bitri can be either past or future, whereas Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Pekodin are always on the past. Rabbeinu Hanano gives a different explanation of the Avre, that in both of them he's over on another mitzvah as well. Not only is he swearing falsely, but he's also denying a monetary claim of the other person, and by Shavuos Eidos he's being over on the mitzvah to go testify when he's able to, as opposed to by Shavuos Bitri, he's not being over on any other Avera, just the fact that he was over on a Shavuot. So that's another meaning of Va'avre. Anyway, the point is, you have all those similarities between Shavuos HaPekodin and Shavuos HaEdos, and therefore it's more logical that if Rabbi Eliezer is going to learn a Gzeirah Shavah from the multiple times that it says Oi, then he's not going to learn from Shavuos Bitui, because you have all those dissimilarities between them. But the Gemara says, Adaraba, mit Bitui Havalei Lemelof. On the contrary, though, you could argue that you should learn from Shavuos Bitui, because they also have some similarities which Shavuos HaPekodin does not have. First of all, they both have the word sechta, like we said before. Shekein chatos, because both of them are, he brings a chatos at the end, as opposed to Shavuos HaPekodin, he's going to bring an osham. Sheyorda, and in both of them, it's a korban ode of a yorid. Lachoymesh, and in both of those, there's no choymesh, as opposed to Shavuos HaPekodin, when he admits that he swore falsely, he's going to have to pay the keren plus a choymesh. You don't have that by Shavuos Bitu, you don't have that by Shavuos HaEdos. So maybe there's more reason to say that we should learn from Shavuos Bitu. And the answer is, that's true, but Hanach Nefishon, but the number of similarities between Shavuos HaEdos and Shavuos HaPekodin is greater than the number between Shavuos HaEdos and Shavuos Bitui, and therefore, so the larger number of similarities wins out, and therefore, if Rabbi Eliezer is going to have a Gzeira Shava on the multiple times Oy, on the Oyin, between Shavuos HaEdos and something else, it's going to be Shavuos HaPekodin, which means, therefore, it's going to be only on Tviya of Mamon, rather than Shavuos Bitui, which is not. Fine. So that explains Rabbi Eliezer's opinion then, that he's learning from the Gzeira Shava of the words Oi, and the reason why Dafke he learns from Shavuos HaPekodin that it involves Mamon is because there's a larger number of similarities between that than there is with Shavuos Bitui. Next, the Braisa had said, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says another way of learning that it applies only to claims of Mammon. The Pasuk had said, when he's guilty of one of these, from which we learn, says Rabbi Akiva, Yesh me'ela shu chayev, Yesh me'ela shu potter, that implies there are some of these for which he would be chayev and some of these for which he would be potter. Okay, so what does that mean? Tvoi Mammon chayev, tvoi davaacha potter. Depends whether he's teveah him Mammon or something else. So that's how Rabbi Akiva learns. But the Gemara says, April Hana, okay, but then we could equally well flip it around. We could just as well say that then in that case, it means that's where there's no moment involved. It's only La'achas Ne'ela, it's one of these. How do we know? The one that he should be chayav for is Davka one involving moment. So the answer is Rabbi Akiva Oyin Rabbi Eliezer Samech, because Rabbi Akiva's opinion is not completely independent. He is relying on Rabbi Eliezer's Gzeira Shava from the words Oyz, that it has to be about Tvias Momen. Now he's saying within Tvias Momen itself, there's only certain kinds that are going to be Mechayev the Edim for their false denial of the Edus. There's only some cases within Dinim Momenus that are going to be Mechayev them a Korban Shvor, a Korban Olav Yodid for their Shvor, and others not. So he's using Rabbi Eliezer's Oiz, but he's also extending that and saying, limiting that and saying within that, there's only some cases. Well, the Gemara says, "My Benayo, Ben Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Rabbi Akiva." Well, then, what is the actual argument? What is the case if they both agree that we're learning from the Gzeira Shavah of Oiz, that we're learning from Shavuos HaPekodin? Then, what is a case where one of them would say that the Edim are Chayev a Korban for their Shavuah, and what is a case where they would say that the Edim are Potri? So the Gemara first answers, "Ike Benayo Mashvia Edik Karka." There would be a difference between them. What if he's be swearing Edim regarding the claim of Karka? Rabbi Eliezer chayavin, Rabbi Akiva pturin. So it would come out, according to Rabbi Eliezer, they would be chayav, and according to Rabbi Akiva, they would be potter. Why? Because when it comes to in the next parak, when we talk about Shavuos HaPekodin, does it apply to Karka as well? We're going to find in the next perek that Rabbi Eliezer holds that there is a chiyuv if he swears falsely on a claim involving Karka. So therefore, now the Gemara is assuming at this point that the same thing would apply What we're going to find in the next perek is that Rabbi Eliezer requires that if a person that if a person stole karka, he's all there's a mitzvah beheshev esakzela on that. He has to return that karka that he stole. Rabbi Eliezer says, in other words, as we're going to learn there, since he learns from a ribuy miut, then it means that he has to return it, and it means, in other words, that the whole concept of the whole concept of gezel, according to Rabbi Eliezer, applies to karka as well. The Gemara brings over there, for example, from Baba Kama, a person steals a field from somebody else, and then that field gets flooded. So now the field is not usable anymore. Does he have to give him back another field? So he has to have the mitzvah of a heshev esakzela. Whereas Chacham say, you can say, harei shalach lefanecha. Here is your field. It's not my problem anymore. So we see Rabbi Eliezer holds the heshev esakzela applies to karka. At this point, the Gemara is assuming, by the same token, Rabbi Eliezer would also hold that shvosa edus and shvosa pekadin applies to karka. So Rabbi Eliezer chayavin l'Rabbi Akiva p'turin. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, he learns in the Gemara over there that the dinim of gzela don't apply to karka, and therefore the concept of shvosa pekadin or shvosa edus wouldn't apply to karka either. So that would be, in other words, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, I'm learning from oiz, from pekadin, and since the dinim of pekadin apply equally well to karka, then therefore they apply by shvosa edus as well. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is saying that no, by karka you don't have the concept of shvosa pekadin doesn't apply, and since I agree, we're learning from you, Gzeira Shava, Rabbi Eliezer, but then we're further limiting the scope of it by saying that it's only Me'ela, only some of these, is Yichayev, and some of these that he's Potter, then I'm excluding Karka, and therefore he wouldn't be, therefore the Edim are not Chayev, Shvosa Edus, for Karka. Well, the Gemara says, well then, what about? In that Gemara, on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, we're going to see that Rabbi Yochanan learns over there that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, yes, Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Heshev HaSakzela applies to Karka. So therefore, he stole Karka, and now it was flooded. He still has to go and find him, he still has to go and get other Karka to return to the Nigzo. But Rabbi Eliezer would agree, says Rabbi Yochanan, that when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadin, he would still be potter if he swore falsely on it, because you have a miut in the pasuk over there that applies only to metalin. So then, Hochamai Ikabein Rabbi Eliezer L'Rabbi Akiva. Then over here, what would be the nafkamina? It comes out, according to that, that with Shavuos HaPikadin, even Rabbi Eliezer would hold his potter for the consequences of his shvor, for the korban, for his shvor, that is. So what would be the nafkamina between him and Rabbi Akiva? And the answer is, Ikabinayu, Eidik Knas. Fine, the argument between them would be as far as a knas. As we learned yesterday, we said that if the Edim are testifying about a matter of knas, then we asked in the Gemara, and we ended up not answering the question, whether they're going to be chayav for Shavuosa Edus or not. Well, very well, Rabbi Eliezer is learning from Shavuosa Pekadin. And the fact is that if a person denies a case of and Rabbi Eliezer holds over there that if a person is koifer on any kind of mammon, whether it's mammon or knas, again, since he learns with ribuy miut, then therefore, so he would also hold, then he would also hold that when the claim is on a knas, then he would be chayev, then the edim would be chayev for the denial of the edus about it, for the denial of knowing the edus about it. So therefore, so according to him, that's how it is. According to Rabbi Akiva, meanwhile, we limit within the oiz, within the learning from Shavuos HaPikadin, we limit that it doesn't apply to knas, and therefore, there you go then, So therefore, that would be a nafkamina between them when we're dealing with a matter of knas over here. Rashi points out, by the way, that there are other mishnayos that say that shvosa pekadin does not apply to knas. It comes out now based on that what we're saying over here that Rabbi Eliezer would not agree with that. Rabbi Eliezer would say that he is chayev with shvosa pekadin for a claim of knas as well, and he holds the same thing would be true as far as shvosa edus. Fine, so that covers Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So Rabbi Akiva, again, to summarize, even though Rabbi Akiva is learning from the fact that it says me'achas me'ela, from one of these, that's not enough by itself, because that doesn't specifically tell us that the one case that Edim Achayev would be mammon, we have to still use Rabbi Eliezer's Gzeira Shava from the words oi, but in addition, and Rabbi Eliezer himself, in turn, is using not just the Gzeira Shava from the word oi, but also the similarities between that and Shavuos HaPikadin, and therefore the result is because that means only Mammon, and then Rabbi Akiva would limit it only to certain kinds of Mammon, not Karka, according to Rabbi Yechon's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer would agree to that as well, and in addition, according to Rabbi Akiva, not Knas. Okay. Next. The next part of the Braisa said, Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yosef Aglili said, here's another way that we can learn that Shavuos Eidos applies only to Mammon. The pasuk says, Vahu Eid Oira Oyada, we said that he's an aid, and he saw or he heard. That means, the Eidos Hamaskamas, the Re'ia below Yadia, the Re'ia below Re'ia, Kosim Adabah. The pasuk therefore has to be talking about the kind of Eidos where it's possible to do with seeing without knowing the facts of the case, and with knowing without seeing. Like we don't before, in other words, there can be seeing without knowing. They see Reuven handing money to Shimon. They don't know why, but nevertheless, they can testify that that money did change hands. And Yudia, below your ear, would be where they're present when Shimon admits to Reuven that he owes the money. They don't have to know why he owes it to him, but then, and they didn't have to be there at the time of, or they, rather they do. They have to know at least that Shimon admitted to Reuven and that he owes him money. And they have to, they weren't present for the original transaction, but they're present now to hear the admittal, and that's enough for them now to go to Beis Din and testify that Shimon admitted he owes the money to Reuven. So the Gemara says, Omale Rapapa La Abaya, but Rapapa asks Abaya, that what we have to ask in that case, Lema Rabbi Yosef Lili Lesley De Rab Acha. Does that mean that Rabbi Yosef Lili would not hold like Rab Acha? Namely, the Tanya, Rab Achaimer, Gomel Ha'Oicher Ben Hagmalid. If you have one camel, Oicher among the other camels. Rashi explains two here and in other places in Shas where it brings this point, two possibilities of what Oicher means. The first one, it just means that he's kicking with his feet or otherwise going wild among the camels. Rashi gives a second explanation. The word Oicher means that the camel is engaging in or getting ready to engage in Tashmish, he's in heat. The Gemara tells us in Chorus, most animals mate front to back, the front of the male with the back of the female, with a few creatures mate face to face, human beings being one of them. And then you have, the Gemara mentions that they're gomel, a camel's mate back to back, ocher keneged ocher. So according to that, Tashmish of camels is called oicher. So now the point is, when animals are in heat and they're in the mood for Tashmish, then they're very vicious, and especially they're going to want to keep away any other males who are potentially going to be interested in this female as well. So then they really lash out and kick and bite and whatever. So whatever the case, we're talking about that this camel is wild and is attacking camels around it. The nimsa gomel horug b'tzidoy. Later on, says Rav Acha, you find a dead camel near it. Be a duash as a horgoy, then you can be sure that this one camel that was wild is the one that killed it. So now the Chachamim disagree and say that no, you need actual solid edus for it, like in any other case. Meaning, Rab Acha holds of the concept of umdana. When we have, it's highly likely, it's almost certain that this camel is the one that killed, then you can be mechayev it. The Gemara is going to assume that Rab Acha would hold of the same concept of by dinin of Foshus as well. Tosfos and various other Rishonim discuss that it may not be so simple to say that we should compare dinin mominus to dinin of Foshus in this regard. It's one thing for Rab Acha to say that Rab Acha would say by the camels to be mechayev the owner of the camel for the other person's dead camel, but to go as far as dinin nefoshes, Tosfos points out on the face of it, even Rav Acha is not necessarily going to make that comparison. And so Tosfos discusses that maybe the Gemara only means in the Hava Mina thinks like that Rav Acha would make that comparison, not necessarily the Maskana. There's explanations that actually, you know, we learned in Sanhedrin that you have cases where we know that a person killed, but there was no proper Eidim Vahasra, and we said we can't give the person Mrs. Bastin, but we can put him in that narrow space into the kippah and feed him a starvation diet, and then eventually cause his stomach to rupture. So that maybe according to Rav Acha, if he holds it, you can go according to Umdana to with Dinei Mamonos, then maybe even by Dinei Nefashos, at least you could go that far. So in Sanhedrin, when it talks about that by Dinei Nefashos, you can never use Umdana. And that would be, even according to Rav Acha, that would be, you can't use Umdana to actually put him to death with Saif, but you could at least do this business about Kippah, maybe according to him. Tosfos does say, though, that the fact is, sometimes you do have such a strong knowledge that there is a case, even not according to Rav Acha, there are cases of Dinei Nefashos that you could use Umdana. Tosfos gives an example. Let's say, for example, we find the person with a bite mark in his head, and the bite was so severe that it punctured the membranes of his skull. Now you know for a fact that he couldn't have bitten himself over there. Necessarily, it must be the other guy did it to him. We're going to have an example similarly to that. We're going to have an example similar to that with chavolos, with cases where a person injures another person later on in our masechta. Towards the end, we're going to have a case where Reuven claims that Shimon, you injured me, and we find a bite mark on Reuven's back in a way where he could not possibly have done it to himself. So then it's clear, since there was nobody else around than Shimon, it's clear that Shimon is chayev. So there is discussion about that point, whether in fact that's so. Not all Rishonim agree with that, but Amar, for example, holds that even such a thing wouldn't work. What about, for example, can Aegis work based on recognizing the person's voice? So the Rishonim discussed that point. And then you do have, there are certain cases of Dinei Nefashos where we do go according to Umdana. We actually had, in Makkos, we had an example of it. Menachim, Mishirok, Menachim. When we see two people who are engaged in Arayas, and we see them in the position where people are usually having relations, then we can assume Edim, based on that, can say that they had relations, and Mimchayev, the Malkus, or Misser, or whatever, even though they didn't see Kemitchol B'Shveferas, that kind of thing we do, that kind of thing, even in Dinei Nefashos, we're using the Rambam phrases it. It's a chazaka, b'tzurazu. It's a chazaka when they're in this position that there was hara. So you do have cases where they don't have to see the actual act itself, but in general they do. Anyway, so here though, the Gemara is assuming again that Rav Acha, who holds that you could use Umdana by Dinei Mamonos with the case of the camels, for example, that he would hold similarly when it comes to Dinei Nefashos. So now, Rav Yosi Aglili says Rav Papa apparently doesn't agree with that. If Rav Yosi Aglili agreed with Rav Acha on that point, then you could actually have a case where the Edom see without knowing, where the Edom know without seeing, namely like the story of Rav Shimon ben Shatach. Netanya, Omer Rav Shimon ben Shatach, Erev ben Achama, may I see the comfort of your Shalayim, in other words, the Gola Amidus Vashleima. He lived in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, but it was a time, it was not such an easy time for the Jewish people. So he's saying, I know there's yet going to be a full-fledged Nechama for the Jewish people, so may I see it? It's a Lashon of Shavua. He really means, may I not see it? But in other words, he's saying a Shavua, that to substantiate the following story. In Loira Isi Odom Echad, if I did not see, meaning I certainly saw Echad, a person, he ran after somebody else into a ruined building, and I chased after him, and then I came in a moment too late, I found the sword in his hand, V'dam metaftif, and blood dripping from the sword, v'horog mefarfer, and the person who had been killed was still writhing around, still moving around. Like, he had obviously just been killed, and it's very obvious that the sword was the one that had done it, and that this person was the one who had just done it with the sword. Amarti Lois, says Shimon Shatach, I said to him, Rosha, mi hergel is there? Listen, who killed this person? Obviously, oyani oyata, it can only have been me or you, there's nobody else around over here. So by rights, you should be chayav Mrs. Basin. Avo ma esa, but what can I do? She'en domcha masa riyadi. Your blood is not given over to my hand, meaning I can't give eders on such a thing, because I didn't actually see you put the sword into him. Shari omra tera, pishnaim edim, eshloisha edim, yumas ames. The Torah says you need two or three edim to kill the person, and not one aid. Now, the Tosfos discusses elsewhere that not necessarily is there literally only one aid over here. It's very possible, actually, that there was somebody else with Shimon Shatach, and the Gemara is just not mentioning it out of respect for Shimon Shatach, because we don't need to mention, it's obvious you need two aidim, but the point is, neither of them actually saw the killing, they just saw the right after it. So fine, then. So fine. So Shimon Shaltach may mean that there were already two Edim, but nevertheless, we didn't actually see the killing. Tosfos also brings up the point. What about Hasra? So first, Tosfos says maybe the guy was a chover, this murderer was a chover, and you have an opinion in a few places in Shas that a chover, we had it in Marcus, for example, in Sanhedrin, that a chover doesn't require hasra. The halacha is not like that, but nevertheless, Shimon Shatach was entitled to hold like that opinion before the halacha was paskened otherwise. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that. Another possibility we showed him bring up, maybe he was giving him hasra as he's running. Tosfos points out some other details in it as well. But anyway, the point is that Shimon Shatach is telling him we don't have the full evidence that we need over here. We don't necessarily have the Edim. Even if we do, we don't have the Hasra, and therefore I can't bring you to Beis Din to have you killed. Ella, but Shimon Shatach says you're not going to get away with it. Hashem will punish you for what you did, because he knows the truth. Omru, so they said, they didn't leave from there, and before a snake bit the sreteach and killed him. And the Gemara discusses elsewhere why that is. If he's chayiv sai, if he's chayiv hereg for having killed the other person, then what should happen is he's attacked by bandits or something where his head is chopped off like it would be with hereg. Why is it a snake, which is actually a form of, which is a form of sreifa? And the Gemara answers he was previously chayiv misa because of something else as well. He's chayiv sreifa for something else as well. So now Hashem took care of all of it at once. Anyway, the point is, therefore, that we see from that story that it is that there is such a thing as umdana, there is such a thing as a very high likelihood that one person killed the other. And according to Rav Acha, we would assume if he allows umdana by the case of the camels, then he would also allow it in the case of dinin nefashos, again, subject to what we were discussing before, what Tosfos and various other mafoshim discuss about the details of that. Is there, in fact, a comparison between those? But anyway, so therefore, if Rav Yosi Agluli is saying in our braisa that there's no way outside of Dine Mominus to have Yediyah without Re'iyah, clearly he doesn't hold like Rav Acha, because according to Rav Acha, you could have, Rav Acha would hold that in the case of Shimon Shatach, he actually could have had the guy put to death because there's Yediyah without Re'iyah. There may be Yediyah without Re'iyah, you didn't see, but there's such a strong umdana that it would be reason enough to put the person to death. So again, we have what the point that Tosfos had made, that maybe only in the Hava Amina does the Gemara think that Rav Acha compares the two, maybe in the Maskana not, and then you have a point, and then you have a point from Achronim, you have a point from Zecher Yitzchak, that maybe Rav Acha would say that the Umdana is so strong that you can even put this murderer in the Kippah. Whatever the case, so the Gemara is saying that on the face of it, Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, therefore we can show, does not hold like Rav Acha. Well, the Gemara says, no, I feel the time is fed in Rav Acha. We could say that Rabbi Yossi clearly holds like Rav Acha, because b'shlemi yediyah b'lo re'iyah mashgachas la. Fine, if you're going to tell me this whole case of Rabbi Shimon Shatach and draw an analogy from it to the case of a camel, one camel possibly having killed the other one, then yes, you could say that works and you can have yediyah without re'iyah. El re'iyah b'lo yediyah hechem mashgachas la. But look, how would you ever find re'iyah without yediyah where you see the thing happening and you don't have yediyah? Don't you after all have to know, the Edom have to at least know who was the victim. Was it a Jew or was it a Goy? Now, you're not allowed to kill a Goy willy-nilly either, but a person that is a Jew is not Chayiv Misa for that. So therefore, so they need to know, was the victim a Yid? So to know whether he's Chayiv Misa. im adam trefa harag, shalom harag. You have to also know whether the victim a trefa or not, because if he's a trefa, then you can't. Then the person is not going to be, then the murderer is not going to be chayiv mitzvah for that. So necessarily, fine. Even Rav Acha is going to say that whenever you have re'iyah, you need yediyah as well. Unlike Rav Yosi Aglili is saying, when it comes to dinim ominous, you can have either one without the other. You can have re'iyah without yediyah or yediyah without re'iyah, and either one is equally valid. Whereas by dinim nefashos, you wouldn't have such a thing. Tosfos, by the way, points out, let's say, for example, now, ordinarily, we wouldn't bother knowing whether he was a trefa or not. But you might have mentioned in Marcus that there were a couple of Tanoim who said over there that if we were on the Sanhedrin, nobody would have ever been killed. And one of the answers is that then one of the things is they would say when there was a case of a murder, well, do you know whether the person was a trefa or not? And even if you know that he was healthy and not a trefa, what about there might have been, and even if we examine the body afterwards, let's say there might have been a hole already in his head or his neck or whatever that was there before, and he happened to stab him right into that. The other Chachamim don't agree with that and say that you go according to the Roiv and Rosh and Roiv people are not trefa. So what is the Gemara saying over here? Tosfos explains, let's say fine, but you could still have, there are two people over there. There were two potential victims, a trefa and a sholem, and he killed one of them, and we need to know now which one of them he killed. Even the Chachamim would agree then that we need to know which one of them he killed, and therefore, so we could have a case over here where, necessarily there's going to be a case, even where there's re'iyah, there still has to be yediyah as well. They have to be able to know who was the victim, and was he a goy or a yid, or a trefa or a sholem, or whatever, and therefore, so Rabbi Yosef Aglili's point was that you can have re'iyah without yediyah, or you deal without the ear, and that you can find only by dinim ominous. All right. The Gemara says, here's another point that we can derive from Rabbi Yosef Aglili's opinion. Shmamina, does that show Kosovar Rabbi Yosef Aglili mashbia edik knas potter? That if he's beswearing edim to come and testify about a knas, then they would be potter from the shvuasa edus, as we now we learned yesterday the whole discussion about that. So we would have to say Rabbi Yosef Aglili is an opinion that holds that they would be potter in that case. Di sakadaitach chayev. You're going to say the edim would be chayev in that case. And you're going to say that the problem would be nihi is same kind of thing. Nihi do yediyah below re'iyah ashkachon la. It is possible to have yediyah without re'iyah. It is possible to, for example, the edim didn't see him doing the oinus or the pitri, but they know it for sure. So one example would be similar to what Tosfos had said before. Let's say about a bite mark on the person's head or back or whatever, where it's obvious that the other person had to do it. He couldn't possibly have done it to himself. The same way, for example, let's say this man went in with the woman into her womb and nobody else was there, and she comes out and now an examination is done right away and we find that she's had relations. So obviously it must have been him. It can't possibly have been anybody else. So then you would be able to have yediyah without re'iyah. But re'iyah below yediyah, but how could you have re'iyah without yediyah? If they see him having relations with her, miloy boy meida, the same kind of thing, don't they need to know in nochus baal, bas yisrael baal, they need to know whether it was a goita or a Jewish girl, because only a Jewish girl is going to be the knas, besula baal, ba'ula baal, and whether she was a besula or not. So there has to be re'iyah in order for this, so there can't be re'iyah without yediyah. Well, therefore, if Rabbi Yosef Aglili is saying the case where the edim are chayav for their shvur, where the chayav a korban is specifically where there could be either re'iyah or yediyah, then it would show that it can't be by knas, because by definition, knas is going to require re'iyah. If there's going to be re'iyah, there's going to have to be yediyah as well. So on the face of it, then it seems that Rabbi Yosef Aglili would. So we can show from that Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds that yes, he would be potter in the case of a knas on those grounds. Okay. Another point. The Gemara makes. The Gemara tells Yosef Rav Hamnuna kamed Rav Yehuda. Rav Hamnuna was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav Yehuda. The Yosef Rav Yehuda was coming by. Rav Yehuda was sitting as the Rosh Hashiva and had the following question: suppose that Reuven, the claimant, the Tevea, says, in based in money many sicha b'fnei plenty of plenty, I counted out, I gave you a money in front of plenty of plenty, the Edim royin osim b'chot. Now suppose that Edim see from the outside that he's receiving the money, but so Rashi explains they're outside in the sense that now Shimon, the nitva, the one who was claimed was the recipient, did not see the Edim. So now, my, what would be the din is that of valid edus. So Rashi explains that the case is that we're talking about where the recipient didn't see the edin. Tosfos says that actually we could be talking about the edim themselves. The point of them being outside is because they were outside, they didn't hear what was going on, so they didn't know whether it's he's lending him money or whether he's paying back a previous debt or whatever. So there is a point over here. The Cheshek Shloima makes a point that Rashi and Tosfos may be arguing about the concept of an important sefer of Dinei, this important sefer on Dinei Mamonos called Sefer HaTrumah. So now the Sefer HaTrumah says, what if the Edom hear Shimon saying that he's getting the money as a loan, then nevertheless he can still later on claim that it was actually a gift. Because, like this, imagine, for example, says the Sefer HaTrumah, imagine, for example, Shimon has previously been owed money by Reuven, and Reuven is being stubborn and doesn't want to give it to him. So Shimon may say to Reuven, you know what, then fine, he'll pretend I'm borrowing money from you, and Reuven will be willing to lend him money, and later on, when Reuven comes to collect the debt, Shimon will tell me, I will tell him, actually, this was in payment of a previous debt that you owed me. So the Sefer HaTrumah holds that such a thing would be valid. And the difference is though whether there's edim, otherwise any lawyer could say that. So now Rashi holds that the Sefer HaTrumah. So therefore, in order for him to be believed that it was only a gift or repayment of a previous loan or whatever, it has to be the edim weren't there for him to see. So it has to be in order for Reuven to be able to later on collect on this debt. And it has to be the edim, has to be that Shimon wasn't aware of the edim right now. On the other hand, Tosfos would disagree with the Sefer HaTrumah and say that no, we can never believe such a thing, and therefore Tosfos gives a different reason why the edim are outside, namely that therefore the point is they don't know whether it was a halvah or return of a loan or whatever. Another point that's brought up by Rishonim in this point is that bechlal, when a person gives money to somebody else, can we assume that it's a gift unless otherwise specified? So the Ran says that yes, and he gives an example from Kiddushin where that would be considered a gift. The Rashba argues and says that no, if you don't specify, then it's considered a loan and not a gift. So here the Kfos points out that on the face of it, you have a proof against the Ran, because we're saying over here that the Edim can't say whether it was a gift or a loan, and nevertheless, and when Shimon said that it was a gift, and they can't say anything, all they say is we saw the money changing hands, so that would show, in other words, that ordinarily we don't consider it, so in other words, we don't necessarily consider it a gift. It would be more like the Rashba then, that it would be considered a loan in such a case. So Rav Yehuda asks the question in this case where there was money changing hands and the Edom saw the money changing hands but they weren't inside. So according to Rashi, therefore the point is that Shimon the Nitba does not see them, so he doesn't know they were there. And according to Tosfos, the point is that the Edom themselves don't know the nature of the transaction. Anyway, my, what would be the din? Is that valid edus or not? So the Gemara answers, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Hamnuna, so Rav Hamnuna answers back, well, first we've got to figure out, V'alo Matoyen, well, what exactly is Shimon's counter-argument before the Edom come? E Amar Hoyod Vayma Olam, if he says it never happened, you never counted me out this money, then when the Edom come, Hoksa Kafran, then it shows that he's a liar, and now, therefore, anyway, we can't believe his, now if later on he were to say, you know what, it was a loan, but I paid it back, or something like that, we anyway wouldn't believe him, because once Hoksa Kafran, then he can't make such claims anymore. The Omar, and if on the other hand he had said, Ain Shakli, yes, I did take the money, Vididi Shakli, but it was my money because previously you owed me money, Ki also Edim my hobby. What's the difference when the Edim come? The fact is that the Edim don't know whether it was a loan or a gift or a repayment of a previous debt or whatever. So anyway, they're Edus. So anyway, they're Edus to say that we saw the money being changing hands is not going to make a difference anyhow. So what exactly is the case that you're wondering about? Amalei, sort of Yehuda says, he's very, very impressed. He says, Hamnuna, at Hamnuna, at you, you Hamnuna, meaning you're the Talmud Chacham Hamnuna, all ta, come on in. In other words, yes, you deserve to be in the Beis Medrash, because now you're an example of a Talmud who's machkim as Rebbe, who makes his Rebbe smarter by pointing out a point that his Rebbe didn't realize before. So fine, then come on in, and I accept what you're saying. You have a valid point that there's no reason really to ask a question anyway. So there are chronim that talk about, so what exactly was Rabbi Yehuda wondering about, and the question is basically that the Eidos has to be on a complete thing, not a half a thing. Do we not even accept the Eidos in the first place because it's only chassidavar? And Rav Hamnuna says that Lamaisa doesn't really matter anyway. So it's not really a matter of chassidavar. It's practically speaking, it's not going to make a difference anyhow. Okay, fine. The Gemara brings you other cases involving Eidos where there's Re'iyah without Yediyah, or the other way around. Ahudu Amalei L'chavre, a person says to somebody else, Mona Manisi L'cha B'tzad Omunzeh, Reuven says to Shimon, at some previous time, on a certain date, I counted out for you money next to this pillar. And I lent you money, and now you have to pay it back. So Shimon answers, Lo yavarti b'tzad omudzeh, I did not pass by this pillar. In other words, what are you talking about? You counted money. I wasn't by this pillar. Also tresadi asirube, but then two edim came, not that they had seen the halva, but they had seen the hishtin mayim b'tzad omudzeh. Some previous time, he had urinated by that pillar. So what is he saying? I wasn't by that pillar. He obviously was at some point by that pillar. So therefore, doesn't that show that he's a liar? Amar Shlokish Chosak Kafran. So the Shlokish says, well, there you go. That demonstrates now that he's a liar. So now, if later on he wants to claim, yes, I did borrow that money, but I since then paid it back or whatever, then we wouldn't believe him anymore because he's been clearly contradicted by Aiden. But Maskis Lo Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman questions that. Hi, Dina Parso. That would be like the din, like the way the Persians do. That would be a goyisha way of doing the law, an unfair way. Mi Kama Me Olam. He never says that. He didn't say I was never by that pillar. He means Be'esek Zek Kamala. He means regarding this transaction, you're saying that a certain date I was by this pillar. I wasn't by that pillar on that date. What's the difference? The Adam come and say that earlier or later he was by that pillar. That's not the, so he hasn't contradicted the Adam at all. So therefore, we have to say that no, the Adam don't come into the picture over here. All right, the Gemara says, Ikadamri, another version of the story was, Ahudu Amal al-Khavre, Mona Manisi l'chabatzad omudzeh, starts out the same thing that Reuben says, I counted out money for you next to this pillar. Omalei, now in the second version, the Nitzba says, Lo avarti b'tzad omudzeh me'olam, I never passed by this pillar. Now, Nofku b'tzadi, dihishin mayim b'tzad omudzeh, and then Adam come out that he urinated there. Now, Omer Rav Nachman, Hochsak Kafran, so now in the second version, Rav Nachman says he would be Hochsak Kafran. Because fine, in the earlier case, you could say, in the earlier version of the story, you could say that he just meant that I wasn't by the pillar at that time. But now he clearly said, Me'olam, I was never by that pillar, and there were Adim that he obviously was by that pillar. Omer Rav Nachman, however, Rav says to Rav Nachman, even then he's not going to be Hochsak Kafran. Because, when a person is not responsible for remembering something, he might do it without thinking about it. Meaning, in other words, he doesn't, obviously urinating by the pillar doesn't have any nachkamina lahalocha. So therefore, he may well have done it and forgotten about it. And now when the edim come and say that he did, that's not a proof that he's a liar. It means, in other words, a person is expected to remember important things such as that he borrowed money. He's not expected to remember unimportant things such as that one time he urinated by this pillar. So he's not Hochsak Kafran, and therefore we go with the fact, well, were the Adim actually for the transaction or not? And if not, then he has the right to claim that there was a transaction and that he paid back, or all kinds of things like that. Tosfos points out that we would have to assume in order to make this fit with a different Gemara and Bava Metzia, Tosfos explains that actually it would have to be that he would say, when he says Lo yavarti b'tzad omudzeh me'olam, means in other words implying if I ever did pass by this pillar, then fine, I'm willing. Once we have Eidos that you're saying the truth as far as that, then fine, I'm willing to be on the hook and pay the loan. So now when the Eidim come and say that he urinated over there, then we would say that Hook's a Kafran, but then Rabbi is saying, even that, not, because that's not a serious commitment, because a person can't be expected to remember every time he was by a pillar. Another case. Okay, so that covers Rav Yossi Agrili's opinion and the Braisa from Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis and the various outgrowths of his opinion. So in short, in other words, again, he's saying that in order for that Shavuos HaEdus requires that there's Re'iyah without Yediyah and Yediyah without Re'iyah, and the only way that you can always find that is by Dinim Mominus, by other cases, by other areas in Torah, you won't necessarily have that. Okay. Next, we have the fourth opinion in the Braisa. Rav Shimon Omer Chiyuv Kan V'Chiyuv B'Kodem Chola. Rav Shimon had said, how do we know that Shavuos HaEdus applies only by Dinim Mominus? As he said, because we try to learn from a Mamotzinu, from Shavuos HaBikodem, where Shavuos HaBikodem is Momen, and therefore Momen over here. Then he says, in addition, there's a Kavachoymer. By Bikodem, it applies across the board. It applies to men, women, relatives, non-relatives, etc. And yet, we say that it applies only to Momen. So Shavuos HaEdus, which is much more limited. And so, since Edim has to be Kosher Edim, and men, and so on and so forth, so then Alach is Kama Vakama, that it should apply, Enidin, that it should apply only to Momen. But then he says, you can slug up that Kavachoymer, and then he says, instead, you're learning from the Gzeder Shava of the word Sechta, So the Gemara says, "Machaku alav ma'arava." They laughed about this in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara has that expression in many places. That the fact is, now Rashi says it means that they laughed at Reb Shimon's opinion, that they couldn't accept Reb Shimon's opinion. The Ritva says, what do you mean? That's for Sholem. You can say they laughed at Reb Shimon, at the opinion of Reb Shimon the Tana. They laughed at the Braisa as quoted, because they said had the Braisa as quoted must be mistaken. Reb Shimon could not possibly have said such a thing. So they laughed at it. They said, how is it possible? Well, they didn't specify what their laughter was about. So they obviously found something in the Braisa unbelievable, but the question is, what did they find exactly? So the Gemara asked, my chucha, what were they laughing about? So like this, the Katoni Malapikodin Shalayin Oshikem Osaboy Mushva Kinishva, he said in the Braisa that one difference between Pikodin, one difference between Shavuos HaPikodin and Shavuos HaEdus is a couple of differences. He had said that by Pikodin, we don't have Mushva, is not like Nishva. Namely, when it comes to Shavuos HaEdus, as we've been saying throughout the Perek, it can be the Edim themselves swear falsely, or it can be the person beswears them, and they answer Omen. As opposed to by Shavuos HaPikodin, you don't have that. It has to be the Shavuos HaPikodin. If it's to be Piyacherim, then he's Potter. He himself has to take the shvur. And also, mezid k'shoigig, and also he's not chayev for mezid like he would by shoigig, because by shvur sa'edus and shvur sa'pikodin, we said he's chayev for mezid as opposed to other kinds of shvurs we're not. Well, this is what they laughed at. What do you mean? Nechti mushmim piyatsime the edus for Reb Shimon Olay. After all, where does Reb Shimon know Shavuos HaEdus that he should be mushmim piyatsime, that he should be chayiv? After all, the Pasuk doesn't mention mushmim piyatsime. The Pasuk only mentions v'shama koil Olah. He heard a voice that was beswearing him. So Reb Shimon is learning from that to Shavuos HaEdus. Well then, because the nami mushmim piyachirim nigma me'edus. Well then, in that case, why he could learn mushmim piyachirim? Well, but he could learn the other way around. That because then mushmim piyachirim, he would be chayev just like by edus. So let him learn in both directions. In other words, So that's what they were laughing at. Is why if he's going to learn one from the other, then he should learn them in both directions. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm not a my chucha. Fine, but why is that a reason to laugh about? Do with Reb Shimon, the Kavachomer Maisila. Maybe after all, Reb Shimon is not learning the Gzeder Shavah, he's learning with a Kavachomer. If he's Chayev when he's Mushman Piachedim, how much more so when he's Mushman Piatzma? So he's learning with a Kavachomer. Maybe he's not learning the Gzeder Shavah at all. So obviously you're not learning the Gzeder Shavah for this purpose at least. So obviously a Kavachomer is not going to work in both directions. Well, so the Gemara says, so that's not a reason to laugh at Reb Shimon's opinion or at the presentation of his opinion in the Braisa. So no, Elachocha, rather, why were they laughing? On an Eretz Yisrael, amazed k'shoigig. They're laughing about the part where he says that he's amazed as like shoigig. Dekotani, mala pikodin, shetain, also by mushpa k'nishpa, amazed k'shoigig. He said that pikodin he's by Pekodin, he's not chayev where he was mazed. Where he is chayev for a korban and he's shregged. What do you mean? Mazed, what do you mean? Mechti, let's consider mazed gabe edos minole. Where do we know that, by edos he's chayev mazed? Deloik sibbe venelam is because it doesn't say venelam in the pasuk, he forgot it. Halchanami, loik sibbe venelam, by Pekodin it doesn't say venelam either. So why would Rav Shimon say that he's not chayev mazed by Pekodin when there's no reason to say that he wouldn't, that he wouldn't be? But, omulahu ravuna. Tosfos discusses in a number of parts of the discussion over here various questions on what the Gemara is asking over here. When it comes to Shavuos Bitu and Trumas Mikdash, it says Venelam, and by Eidos it doesn't. So you could say, therefore, so that's why by Shavuos Eidos you don't have to have a Venelam, because since in the context of the other one where it mentions Venelam, and here it Dafka leaves it out, means that it's even bemazed. But by Shavuos Bekodin, you can't necessarily say that. But Tosfos says that the Gemara is assuming that the Gemara, even at this point, realizes that there's no reason to think that by Eidos there should be any difference between Shregig and Mazid, even independent of the point of whether it says Venelam or not, that we would learn it from Me'ilah, where Me'ilah applies, Korban Me'ilah applies only to Shregig, and the Gemara realizes at this point that you can't learn Eidos from that and say that it would be Chayiv only to Shregig, and then just like by Pekodin. That the Gemara is going to bring up in a minute the comparison to Me'ilah. Anyway, so the question is, so the Bnei Ma'arava then was saying, they're laughing at the point, how can you say it's you're saying that by Shavuos Eidos it applies the Mezid as well, by Shavuos Pekodin it's not, well why not? It doesn't say Venelam by either one of them, so there's no reason to differentiate. But Amal Rav Huna, Rav Huna says to the Chachamim who laughed, "Umay Chucha, what are you laughing about? Yom Amazed Delav Kasheigi would be called Me'ilah." Rav Shimon Gamalah. Maybe Rav Shimon is learning that point from Me'ilah, whereby Me'ilah you have the concept where a person brings an Hashem Me'ilas is only when he did it Kasheigi, and Bemazed he would be Chayv Malkus or Misabidei Shemayim, but Kasheigi he brings a carbon. So therefore, Rav Shimon maybe is learning by Xavier Shava from Me'ilah, by both of them it says the word Mo'al Amal, or Simo Mal. So the Gemara answers, well, Divahayin Chucha, well, that's exactly what they're saying, that's what they're laughing about. Ad Gamal Lama Me'ilah, Nigma Lama Eidos. Well, then that's the very question. Why is he learning from Me'ilah to say that he should be Potter B'Shergig? Instead, he should learn from Pekodin that he would be Chayev. Why is he learning Pekodin from Me'ilah and saying that he's Potter B'Mezid? He should instead learn from Eidos and say that he's Chayev B'Mezid. Again, as we learned yesterday, Xeder Shava doesn't always mean that you know both ends of the Xeder Shava. So we know there's Xeder Shava, but we need to figure out what parts of the Xeder Shava, what psukim are giving us the Xeder Shava. So therefore, so that might be itself what they're laughing at in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, you're saying Reb Shimon is saying we can learn Pekodin from the Me'ilah, and in both of them he's Potter B'Mezid, but that exactly is the question. Why learn Pekodin from the Me'ilah? Why not learn it from Eidos? And the Gemara answers, Mistabram, that's not a question, that's not something to laugh about. Mistabram, Me'ilah, Havalei L'Melech, it's more logical for him to learn Shavuos HaPekodin from Me'ilah and say that by both of them, you potter, when it's Bemezid, from a Korban Bemezid, Shekin Me'ilah, Me'ilah, because you're learning from the word Me'ilah that it says by both of them. So the Gemara says, Adram, Eidos, Havalei L'Melech, yeah, but by that logic, you could learn instead from Eidos, Shekin Tsechta, Misechta, because by both of them, you have a different Zeder Shava on the word Techta, which Reb Shimon himself had brought up in the Braisa later on. So the Gemara says, fine. Fine, but it's more logical to learn from Me'ilah and not from Eidos, because again, there's many similarities between them. Shekein Me'ilah Bakol Nena Bekavua Chomesh Ba'osham. Because you have all of these similarities. You have all these similarities between them. By both of them, it says Me'ilah. By both of them, they apply across the board, as opposed to to all people, as opposed to Eidos applies only to people who are capable of giving Eidos and Beis Din, men and not psulim and so forth, as we learned at the beginning of the Perek. So that's Bakol. Nene, both of them, there's Hana involved, one where he's having Hana from Hektish, and the other where he's having Hana from money that he denied, as opposed to Eidos, Shavuos Eidos. They're not having Hana, they're refusing to go and give the Eidos and swearing falsely. They don't know it. There's no Hana involved. And there's an intangible Hana, I guess, not to go and go through the hassle of Beis Din, but it's not really a tangible Hana. So that's another similarity between Pekodin and Me'ilah. By both of them, the korban kavua, as opposed to by Eidus, it's korban olav yodid. By both of them, that's the word kavua. By both of them, there's a choymesh. By both of them, by me'ila and by shvur sapikadin, a person has to pay back the keren choymesh. And by both of them, the osham, by both of them, you bring an osham, as opposed to by shvur sa'edus, there's no choymesh, and it's a korban olav yodid. So you have all those similarities between Pekodin and between Shavuos HaPekodin and Me'ila, and therefore it's more logical that if Reb Shimon has two available Gzeira Shavuos to him, he's going to choose the one where there's the greatest number of similarities between them, and therefore that's not a reason to laugh at him. Well, the Gemara says, Adram and the Eidus have a little Me'ilof. On the contrary, though, maybe you should learn Shavuos HaPekodin from Shavuos HaEidus and say, therefore, that Shavuos HaPekodin should apply the Mezid as well. Shekain, because they also have similarities. Chet, Hedyet, Bishvor, Tavet, the Kafre, the Oyin. Because you also have a lot of similarities between them. By both of them, it says Sechta. By both of them, it's involving a Hedyet, as opposed to Me'ila involves Hentish. Both of them involve a shvur, whereas by Me'ilo there's no shvur. Both of them, there's a tviya, there's a claim, and a kfira, and a denial, whereas by Hektish, you don't have that. And by both of them, it says a bunch of ois, where by Me'ilo you don't have that. And again, the answer is, hanach nefishin, fine, but the number of similarities between Me'ilah and Pekodin is larger, is six, as opposed to the ones between Pekodin and Eidus is only five, so therefore the Pshimin is going to choose to learn from the one that has six similarities. All right, well, then the Gemara says, El-Mai-Chucha. Well, then why are they laughing at Reb Shimon's opinion? The fact is, these Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, they're not just going to laugh at anything just out of the blue. It means if they're going to laugh, it means they have a solid reason to reject this opinion. So why are they laughing at him? So the answer is, Ki also Reb Papa and Reb Huna Bereide Rishum Ve'Rav, when Reb Papa and Reb Huna Bereide Rishum came from the yeshiva, they gave an answer. Amri, they said, Hainu Chukah. Let's explain the reason why the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael laughed at Reb Shimon's opinion, because Mechdi Reb Shimon Gzeira Shava Gomer. After all, Reb Shimon is learning at the end of the Braise, he learned from Gzeira Shava. He said that we learn from the Gzeira Shava of the word Sechta. So why did he even bring up the point he brings up the point in the Braisa? First he says that you should be able to learn from a Kavachoymer, but then he says you can slog up the Kavachoymer. Because he says by Pekodin, you want to learn from Pekodin, but by Pekodin, you don't have Mushba, it's not like Nishba. Again, if you heard the Shavuah from somebody else, it's not the same as making the Shavuah by himself. You're not Chayiv and Oshem for it. And we don't say Mezes and Rashogig. Why does he need to do that? The same Zera Shavuah should teach us that, in fact, those things do apply to Shavuah Sa'edus and Shavuah Sa'Pekodin both. So in other words, the flow of the Braisa was, Reb Shimon says, I have a Kavachomer, but then I could slog up that Kavachomer. But instead, I'll give you a Gzeira Shava, but fine, that very Gzeira Shava should tell us that not, that those things that he brought to slog up the Kavachomer are in fact not of slogs, and in fact the din is the same between Shavuos Eid and Shavuos HaPekodin. So that would be why they're laughing at this opinion of Reb Shimon that it seems to be inconsistent. Well, the Gemara says, "Umay chucha." Fine. What's the laughter about? Dumaki parech mikamid to take him like Zera Shava. Fine. Reb Shimon points out that pircha, that contradiction to the Kavachomer before he had learned the Zera Shava of the word sechta. Bosser de kamale, but after he learned bosser de kamale Zera Shava. After he learned the Gzeira Shava, like Parach, then he's not asking that you could slog up the Kavachoyim, because it's true. Then from the Gzeira Shava, at that point, you could learn that these dinim. So at the beginning, when he first wanted to learn, in a Binyan Av, so we can point out that Binyan Av or that Kavachoymer can be shlugged up. But then he learns the Kavachoymer. So now, when he holds, Rashi explains, when he shlugs up his Kavachoymer, not that he says that, so he's saying, you know why? You need a Gzeira Shava, is because otherwise you need the Gzeira Shava because you can't learn from the Mamatzinu because you could shlug it up. So therefore, he started learning it first by that, and then pointed out why we need the Gzeira Shava. And that's often the case where Tanoim will do that, and Mishnayos, and in Braisos, and Sifri, and Sifra, whereas they will often do that kind of thing. They'll point out that we have a Gzeira Shava, but why did the Torah need to go to the trouble of giving us a Gzeira Shava when we could have learned it logically? It's because your logical analysis with Vinyan Ab or Kavachomer can be shlugged up. So therefore, so that's not a reason to laugh at Reb Shimon's opinion. So the Gemara says, Veloy. So you're telling me that not, you're telling me Rav Shimon does not hold, does not mention this Lamaskana as well. Which Tana is it that says that Shavuos HaPikadon, if he does it b'mezid, there's no kapara? Reb Shimon he. So Rav Bar Itai tells the Talmidim that Reb Shimon would hold, unlike the Chachamim hold that by Shavuos HaPikadon is chayiv even if the Shavuos was b'mezid, but there's someone who disagrees, and who is that someone? Reb Shimon. So it comes out that Lamaskana also, Reb Shimon says that this din doesn't apply. Well, why not? If he's living in Zeta Shava between Shavuos HaEdos and Shavuos HaPikadon, then everything that applies to one should apply to the other, and therefore, just like by Shavuos HaEdos, the chayiv b'mezid, so it should be by Shavuos HaPikadon. But it comes out Lamaskana, Rav Bar Itai is telling us that not. Well, then, in that case, then the question is still valid on Reb Shimon. Why is he doing that? If he holds the Gzeira Shava, then why is he still saying that there's a difference between them? So the Gemara answers back, no, because Dilma Mezid Kashoyed Parich, because maybe Reb Shimon is only pointing out the distinction that that Mezid is not like Shoyed, because the Gomel Amim Me'ila. As far as that detail he learns from Me'ila, the Hanach the Fishin, because like we said before, there's more similarities between Shavuos HaEdos. There's more similarities between Shavuos HaPikadon and Me'ila. As we said, there are six similarities between them. Ava Mushba, Kanishba, like Parich, but it's true, he does agree that Mushba is not, so he would still hold that by Shavuos HaPikadon, unlike Shavuos HaEdos, it doesn't apply to Mezid. Why? Because that detail he learns from Me'ila. Ava Mushba, Kanishba, like Parich, you're right, Lamaskana, maybe he's not, Lamaskana. He's saying once we have the Gzeira Shava, there's no reason to differentiate between Mushba and Nishba. Well, then, in that case, and the question is, again, why are we laughing at what he's saying? He's not being inconsistent. He's saying there's a certain detail where I'm willing to learn Pekodin from Adros, where it's the type of Shavuah, whether he did it himself or whether somebody else beswore him, because there's no comparison to Me'ila, but where we can compare it to Me'ila, namely, as far as Mezid and Shregig, there he's going to prefer to learn from Me'ila. So we're still left with that there's no good reason that there seems to be no good reason for them to laugh at his opinion, because his opinion is actually being consistent. All right. So the Gemara asks, here's another way maybe we can explain why they're laughing at him. If you're going to tell me that the fact that Mezid by Shavuos HaPikadon is Potter, and he's going to learn it from Me'ila, well, in that case, then the Gemara says, Teheder Edis, V'tigma Lava Pikadon. Well, once we have Gzeira Shava, and once Reb Shimon has established that by Pikadon, Mezid and Shoigig are different, because that detail he's learning from Me'ila, then we should do the Gzeira Shava the other way around. We should learn Mezid Delav Kashoigig, we should learn V'tigma Lava Pikadon, Mezid Delav Kashoigig. We should learn Edus from Pikadon, that Mezid and Shregig are different. Ma Pikadon Shregig ain Mezid loy. Just like that Pikadon, that applies only when he swears b'Shregig, not b'Mezid, according to Reb Shimon, because we said that detail he learns from Me'ila. Af Edus Shregig ain Mezid loy. Maybe he should be using his Gzeira Shava just saying it. The same thing by Edus, that applies only when it's Shregig and not when it's Mezid. So this set of Shimon is taking as a given that by Edus, he's chay, the chayim for Shavuos HaEdos, the chayim b'Mezid. Maybe that's what to laugh at him. Why? Once he has Gzeira Shava, then he should be learning, then he should be learning. So he learned from Me'ila to Pikadon, and applies only b'Shoigig. Now in turn, he should learn from Pikadon to Edus that it's also only b'Shoigig. In fact, the Ritva points out, now here we're dealing with whether he has to bring a korban. When it comes to kodshim, you can't learn, once you learn something from another thing, you can't learn another thing from it, as we talked about in the first parak, but the Gemara explains in Zvachim, in a whole sugya on that when you learn one thing and with a Gzeira Shava, you can learn to another thing of kodshim, also with a Gzeira Shava. And here it's not even a Gzeira Shava, because most korbanos have a shregig, not b'mezid, so therefore the Ritva says, therefore that's why maybe we have reason to laugh at Reb Shimon's opinion. Why is he not using this double Gzeira Shava to learn from the Me'ila to Pikadon and then from Pikadon to Edus? So why does he do that? So the head of Edus for Timur Gamal and Pikadon Mezid. Mezid the last for Shregig. Ma Pikadon Shregig ain't Mezid Loi. Just like the Pikadon that applies only to Shregig, not to Mezid. Af Edus Shregig ain't Mezid Loi. Just as he learns Pikadon from Me'ila. So that would be why the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael are laughing at him. And the answer is that's still not something to laugh at him, because you can say, Lahochi Kosman Achman Edus, Gabi Shavuos Bitui. Why did the Torah write the concept of Shavuos Edus next to Shavuos Bitui, Gabi Tumas Mitzvah Shekodjav, and next to Tumas Mitzvah Shekodjav? Why did the Torah put all those three together in one parasha? And the difference would be the Bekula Nema Behen Venelam, Makanla Nema Behen Venelam, because the fact is, by Tumas Mitzvah Shekodjav, and by Shavuos Bitui, it says Venelam, that he forgot. And by Edus, it does not. Makanla Nema That itself would be to tell us that Mezid is also like Shoygig. So in other words, yes, it's true, you could have used the double Gzeira Shava, but the very fact that the Torah does not tell you Venelam when it comes to Shavuos Edus, and does by the other two that are in that very same parasha, that would be reason to say that there is that difference, and that the Shavuos Edus is chayev from Mezid. So now we really don't understand, in the event, in the final analysis, why did the Chacham Eretz Yisrael laugh at Reb Shimon's opinion? Reb Shimon is being very consistent. Yes, he has his Gzeira Shava. Yes, he's learning parts of the din, he's learning a din within Pekodin from the Ila, but the fact that he doesn't then learn with that same Zeta Shava to learn from Pekodin to Shavuos Edus is because the Torah is specifically telling us by Shavuos Edus, by leaving out the word Venelam, that it doesn't matter whether it was Rashegig or Bemezid. So in the final analysis, why are they laughing at Reb Shimon? We don't really have a good reason for it. So we've clarified Reb Shimon's opinion. We've clarified the fact that he's learning from a Zeta Shava of the word Sechta. And that's how we know is that Shavuos Edus applies only to Dinim Mamonis. And then Be'ez Hashem will continue tomorrow and finish out the Dinim of Shavuos Edus and finish off the Dinim of what exactly, under what circumstances are they Chayev and what they're Potter.